I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
Hello, Jeff and all.
And Tim Kalpakis.
What is up?
And we're your hosts, the Sloppy Boys.
Now, Tim, how did you settle on what is up? Because that, you know, that at first you weren't doing that, and now it's every single time.
It's one of those things that just took off, and it's a phenomenon, and it's a train that I couldn't stop if I wanted to.
It's undeniable.
I was walking down the street the other day in Brooklyn, and I passed some teenage kid, some punk skater kids, and they one of them had a What Is Up t-shirt. And I was like, that can't be.
How did you know? You saw the t-shirt and you didn't just think it says What Is Up, but you knew that it was using my inflection?
It was four U's in a row.
A lot of people say, what's up? That's normal.
Yeah.
And then recently, for a long time recently, people lose the is and they just say, what up?
What up, right.
Oh. Now, Tim, you're taking it back and you're leaning on the is. You go, what is up?
Yeah.
What's really cool is like, that was instinctual. Like, I didn't really cognitively know I was leaning on the very missing word, but I guess I have that sort of contrarian, rebellious spirit.
Yes.
Right.
And it goes to show that like language, just like anything else, is always a reaction to what comes before it.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. That's interesting for you to say, Tim, because I've always worried about your cognitive abilities in general being lower than average. So it's good to know that you are using your brain, I guess.
It's on and off, because sometimes I'll go like maybe a week or two without cognating anything.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a day that's like Cognition Saturday, if you know what I mean.
Hashtag Cognition Saturday.
What do you guys say we get into some booze news?
Finally.
I like it, Tim.
Hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, news, and these are the Sloppy Boys.
All right.
On drums, Jefferson Dutton.
Hey.
Oh. Nice fill, Jeff.
On guitar, we got Tim Kalpakis. Woo. On bass, the big man, the hand man, Mike Hanford.
Is that you, Mike?
Couldn't play this if you gave me a year. This rules.
And me? Well, I'm just some bozo with an iPad and garage band and nothing to do on a Thursday night. Whew. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Drive safe.
That's great. Man.
That was sent to us by Nathaniel Lane, a.k.a. the Sandman from Boston. That was a hot jam.
Whoa, Nathan Lane sent that in?
Nathan?
Yeah. It says here, I haven't got a lot of Lion King work recently.
Yeah.
So I'm getting into Booze News theme songs.
Wow. Yeah, he did that on GarageBand. That's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, everything is all ones and zeros in the digital shit.
It kind of seemed more like an opening to a Which I liked.
Nathaniel.
It'll sound like an opening to a late night show.
Hey, maybe
like
we should
Arsenio style, Arsenio era.
Yeah, right? Hey, let's get into the real booze news.
Okay, here's the hot new things, folks. The hot new things, folks, is performance beers. Have you guys heard of performance beers?
No. Now, what are you... Now, hold on. What the fuck are you talking about?
Tim, what kind of performance are we talking about here?
I read an article in Bloomberg about a new class of performance beers is taking a page from Gatorade. Breweries are adding electrolytes to help the body dehydrate less while having a cold one.
Whoa.
We should be doing that to all beers.
Doesn't this seem like a bad idea, ultimately?
I think it's a good idea for us who on our Patreon show ran a mile. We're pretty much like runners and drinkers, so we're probably the target demo.
That's true.
Now, Tim, is this just another gimmick?
I think, to answer your question, yes. And here's the sense that I made of it. I looked through this list of breweries. Oh, Zealous Beer Weekender, Harpoon Brewery, Avery Brewing Pacer, Millspillion. All these craft brews are coming out with beers that don't dehydrate you and they're full of electrolytes. You know what's going on here is they're trying to keep up with the seltzers.
That's right.
It's funny that Michelob Ultra kind of had the market cornered on this as far as like having a beer commercial, but then having a lady on a bike.
Yeah.
But those felt like, hey, it's beer for people who, yeah, once in a while they're going to cheat and do what their lifestyle doesn't allow and drink a beer. And this is that beer. And it didn't seem like, you know, beer for the beer set.
What?
Right.
How is seltzer like ruling the beverage world? That's who saw that coming?
Mike, you've had the ugly sweater pack.
Of course I've had it.
Yeah. This stuff is delicious.
I'm drinking 10 or 20 peppermint patty flavored seltzers a day at this point.
Oh, by the way, I looked up the out of office pack.
Yes.
Bud Light seltzer out of office.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing it close by. So I gotta do some work and find one of those.
Get on it.
Because you have them.
You gotta get your ass to Enterprise and rent yourself a car.
Yeah.
But the thing about Enterprise, they'll pick you up.
Oh. Now, Tim, well, you were mentioning some of those microbrews or something. Did you say one called Millspillion?
Millspillion, M-I-S. Millspillion. Yeah.
Ooh, cool. That sounds funny to me.
When I drink enough beers, I'm going to be Millspillion them all over the fucking... Okay, moving on. And here was my one other piece of booze news. And this is not just booze news. This is chartreuse news. Michael, you reported some chartreuse news once about how there are only two people who know the recipe for chartreuse, and they are...
That's true.
They're Carthusian monks. Yes.
Yeah, the monks make it.
And then when me and Jeff were buying chartreuse for this very podcast, the guy behind the counter said, you know, this only one monk knew how to make this, and then he recently taught a second monk how to make it. but here's a cool thing. This was sent to us by one of our Patreon patrons. There's a movie called Into Great Silence. It's a 2005 documentary about the Carthusian monks and the process making chartreuse liqueur. But here's...
We got to watch it.
We got to watch it, but here's what we have to know before watching it. It is... I watched the trailer, and even the trailer was hard to get through because it is silent. They're in a monastery, right? Nobody talks.
Right.
So listen to the blurb. The Wikipedia blurb for this movie says, the idea for the film was proposed to the monks in 1984, but the Carthusians said they wanted time to think about it. They responded 16 years later and said they were going to permit the director to shoot if he was still interested. And he went, the director lived there for a year. No wow. visitors were allowed. And he filmed on his own with no artificial light. And the final cut contains neither spoken commentary nor added sound effects.
I was going to say, you know who probably liked that is the boom operator for getting room tone.
Oh, ringtone.
Room tone dream, my God.
You did the room tone for the Chartreuse documentary?
So this movie is like three or 4 hours long and it has no talking in it.
Holy smokes.
Someday we should watch this and discuss it, but it'll be a feat of strength to make it through.
We have to be quiet ourselves. What now? Do you think like these guys can't talk at all? But do you think like if when the two of them there are mixing up, one of them's like, "Pass me the oats."
They're gonna have to.
Yeah, he has to. Like if he can't get the guy's attention, hey.
It says here that they don't speak, but they do mutter out the side of their mouths. Freely and at will.
Give I'm me excited the measuring to try, cup, you bozo.
I'm excited to try the result of their labor.
Yeah, I feel pressured to love it because what if we taste it and we say, P.U., these guys stink.
Well, I took a little whiff of it, and I got to say, it smells just like a million other liqueurs.
It smells like a bottle of alcohol.
Now, the only thing I have for booze news today, one tiny little item. Over the weekend, I had a Carling Black Label beer. You ever have one of these?
Never heard of it.
Nah.
It's a Canadian beer. It's from Carling. I mean, it's called Carling. And it was one of these things. It was a $3 beer on the menu. And I said, well, I've never had that. And that seems what I'm usually used to. Let me try it. It was watery, watery, watery.
Now, Mike, is this a new beer?
No, this doesn't look like a new beer. This looks like old stuff.
So this is breaking booze news. So you had a bad beer you didn't like.
You had a beer you didn't like.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
You said it was watery.
Maybe I was in the mood for a little water.
Oh, maybe it's like one of these running performance beers.
Thank you. Either way, that's what's new for me in the world of booze news.
That's pretty good. Let's wrap up the booze news and let's get into Get Back Here With My Show.
Yeah, let's get back into Saturday TV Funhouse.
Get back here with my chartreuse. Well, the cocktail today. You guys ever been in the shower before?
Yes.
Yeah, usually.
Almost daily.
Dropping trow to get that done.
Sure.
You ever sign an autograph?
I've taken a selfie.
Well, guys, that counts. You are all the way there for the cocktail today. We're doing the Naked and Famous cocktail.
Oh, okay. No, we qualify.
That's the name of this one. Yeah. You've been in the shower and you've taken a selfie.
Good. That makes me feel like I can relate to this drink because otherwise it would be a little bit over my head.
This is a drink. You know what I love? I love when the story, we know exactly who made it. The story is definitive. This is one of those drinks. Created 2011.
Bouge.
New stuff. Death & Co., a bar, sort of a speakeasy, cool bar in Manhattan, in the East Village.
Oh.
By a man named Joaquin Simo. I think it's S-I-M-O with a accent on the O. Simo, I think that's called. And this, guys, this is, I emailed our buddy Jack Schramm, and he gave me a little in and out here. This guy's a contemporary of Giuseppe Gonzalez. Remember who did the Trinidad Sour?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Joaquin opened a bar called Pouring Ribbons, also a bar in the East Village. It's one of Jack's faves. That has a bunch of vintage chartreuse.
Oh.
Which he said, he mentions the monks here, but he also said that it ages really interestingly. So that's like a weird like wine or something.
Oh, does that mean it rots quick like our vermouth?
I don't think so. I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, he was saying he's a great guy, type of guy who's like traveled the world and has all these crazy stories about like getting old dusty bottles of liquor and stuff like that. So Joaquin Simo, cool dude. If we're saying the last name right, who knows? Hopefully he hears this and chimes in.
Hey, Mike, question for you. You said this drink came out when? It's a very new one.
2011.
2011?
Can you believe this?
I'm looking up the band, The Naked and Famous.
Oh.
Formed in 2007, before the drink.
Interesting. I don't think I know what that band is.
Oh, you know them.
I do.
What's their big hit tune?
What do they say?
Young Blood.
Young Blood. I got some Young Blood.
It's like, yeah. You know that song, right?
Now we got Young Blood.
No.
Oh, yeah, I do know. I thought that that was MGMT.
It's like downing and downing and downing and downing now.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike.
So Joaquin Simo.
Mike is not having it.
Not interested
All
in this.
All he seems to care about anymore is Joaquin Simo.
This guy sounds like a great guy. He was in 2009. He was Playboy, one of Playboy's top 10 mixologists.
Damn, dude.
2012, Spirited Awards, American Bartender of the Year, Spirited Awards. This guy is good.
Not the Spirit Awards, the Spirited Awards.
Yeah, I guess so, unless maybe I typed that down wrong. This is a very interesting drink. It's he described it as the bastard love child of a classic Last Word and the Paper Plane.
Oh.
Another song, Paper Plane.
Conceived in the mountains of Oaxaca. That's what mezcals are. Have you guys ever had mezcal?
Oaxaca. Right.
Well, that's how you pronounce that, Oaxaca, O-A-X-A-K-C-A, Oaxaca.
Mezcal is like the sister drink of tequila that is, it's also made from the agave cacti, but it's smokier. It's got like volcanic rock in it. And wood.
I thought it was just a distinction because of like the geography, like champagne.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it turns out the process is a little different.
Because I do think tequila has that where it's like, to be called tequila, it has to be from one of five counties in Mexico, and it has to have a certain percentage of blue agave. Uh-huh. So I thought everything else was mezcal, but it's according to the guy behind the counter at Cap and Cork, there's a bunch of other things that make mezcals nice and smoky, because tequila is not smoky unless you drink it from an ashy cup.
Listen, listener, you can look up and see what the difference is. There's, you know, barrel aging times and what part of the agave goes in. That's your business. We're here to talk about the drink itself.
What I think is cool about this drink is like, we've been tiptoeing around New York cocktails quite a bit. On this show, we're talking about cocktails from all over the place and from any year. But there is a very specific cocktail revival of the early 2000s that's a whole scene, you know, and it's got all this context to it. We've touched on it with the Clover Club in Brooklyn is part of it, and Giuseppe Gonzalez, who invented the Trinidad Sour, that's one guy. But I feel like this, we're Death & Co. and this cocktail is sort of like maybe the tail end of it. It's like there's a lineage. There was an older New York guy that was named Dale DeGroff, and he was like the, you know, like the Del Close, the guru, you know, time honored guy. And then you got another guy, Sasha Petrasky, that was like the Matt Besser. So he's taken the thing and he's taken it a step further. Now, I think when you get to Joaquin Simo, that's like the Tim Kalpakis, you know, that's like like the dude, that's like the guy, man.
He's like the guy right now, baby.
That's your boy.
Yeah, the it guy.
But I do think it's funny with New York cocktails, especially. There's just so much context. Like when you talk to New Yorker, like all of these, it would be like casually saying like, oh, I went to a comedy show and I was at this comedy club called UCB. And if you said that to me, I'd be like,
Yeah.
UCB, that's a whole world. And I feel like New York cocktails, there's all of that stuff. And we're today touching on maybe a cocktail that came along. It's not like that whole scene is entirely dead, but probably this came along at the end of that golden age.
Sure. And like when you say cocktail boom, you're talking about like specifically the Mad Men like craze, right?
It predated Mad Men barely by a couple of years, and then Mad Men certainly helped. But what I mean is like the same thing that happened, like I was like, it's a comedy, but think about music, like the Meet Me in the Bathroom, New York, the whole indie music scene, or the foodie, David Chang and Lucky Peach, like the foodie scene. This timed out in every aspect of art and life around the year 2000, a bunch of hipstery guys revolutionized the thing. And I feel like New York, that's kind of the time frame.
This is a time when humans are saying, okay, I'm working on my mind, I'm working on my body, I'm working out. What about my tongue? Let's not forget about my tongue. Let's excite that when I'm out drinking. And, well, yeah. People listened. Yeah, Jack was telling me there's like a bunch of bars and people we'll probably be coming upon when we get more into these new era drinks, which makes me think, yeah, it did all. A lot of it happened here in New York.
I think the epicenter is Milk and Honey.
Okay.
Then from there, a lot of the bartenders from Milk and Honey spun off into like Attaboy or like PDT or other things. And today, it's one of the lineage.
Hey, It's nice to be among the living for once.
I know.
Yes, this is nice.
It's not World War II.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it was in the 60s in San Francisco or who knows. Crying out loud. Right. When you make a drink, write it down, put it in the safe. Here we go. Here's what's in this drink. 22.5 milliliters of mezcal. That's 3/4 of an ounce. Oh, this is also one of my favorite things. Each ingredient of this drink, same amount. It's a 1:1:1:1.
Yeah,
baby.
I love it.
So 22.5 milliliters mezcal, 22.5 milliliters yellow chartreuse, 22.5 milliliters Aperol, 2.5 milliliters fresh lime juice. Pour all ingredients into a cocktail shaker. Shake well with ice. Strain to chilled cocktail glass. A coupe glass. You guys know what a coupe glass is?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little tiny...
It's like a rounded martini glass.
Like a champagne-y type glass, yeah.
Yes.
And garnish for this one? Don't even think about it. It's not applicable.
Oh.
Hey.
I think we should make this drink. The last thing I'm going to do is read you another quote from Joaquin Sumo about the drink. He says, the botanical intensity of the two liquors gives such great length to the drink that it manages to be simultaneously crushable and complex. It says there's a great balance to it, letting the complex ingredients speak in turn rather than all at once. So I think this is going to be like what the Trinidad Sour sort of had. Remember where our little minds were blown because it was like, oh, this. And then
yeah,
this.
You got an evolving taste.
Oh, that's exciting.
Are you going to be mad at me if I take a little sip of chartreuse on the way in?
No, I will not be mad. I might do a little sips my own because I want to see what mezcal is all about on its own.
Yeah, I have another thing I want to do late in this show is taste test back and forth a little Campari and a little Aperol because I suspect that they're pretty similar and I'm mad I had to buy a new bottle.
Yeah, they kind of are the Red Bitter Brothers, and I've never tried them back to back. I think Aperol's sweeter, but that'll be a good little test. I was so excited to finally have my moment to taste chartreuse. Mm. And then I saw that this recipe called for yellow chartreuse, and I walk into the store and I see that there's both yellow and green. Mm-hmm. And then I asked the guy, I was like, I'm just tasting chartreuse for the first time. Is the green like the more popular one or is the yellow, like, am I missing the thing? And he was like, they're both popular, but green is like a more intense and yellow is the same flavor, but mellowed out. So I think we'll get it.
Right on.
Okay. All right. Well, let's cut it here and get going.
Folks, we'll be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Sloppy Boys is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey folks, Mike Hanford from The Sloppy Boys here, and I wanted to ask you, do you ever have this feeling like you gotta get something off your chest? You know, you're walking around with something and you got, I just gotta tell someone this, I just gotta fix this thing. It happens to us all. We all carry around these different stressors, big and small. That's just how it is. But when we keep bottling it up, it can start to affect us negatively, and that's not good. But therapy is here to help. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work on whatever's weighing you down. Now look, you know me, I've been to therapy, I'm the therapy guy, I love it. And I gotta say, it does help when you go in there and talk to the therapist and say, you know what, my two co-hosts piss me off on a daily basis, it's weighing me down, what am I gonna do? That of course is a joke example, but you get what I'm saying. You can tell a therapist what you're feeling, and they'll help you learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Now, listen to this. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. That's right, you. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. That's pretty good. So, folks, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/sloppyboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sloppyboys. Go in there, talk to somebody, get it off your chest. Have a great time. Hey, folks, we want to pump the brakes on this episode and talk about a great podcast called Bizarre Albums from our good pal Tony Thaxton. This is a great one. Tony explores the weird side of music, celebrating and telling the stories behind those strange albums that make you wonder how and why they exist. He does deep dives on albums released by pro athletes, actors, fictional characters, and those albums where musicians or bands just took a crazy, weird left turn. The episodes are short, digestible. They're 15 to 20 minutes, full of pop culture trivia nuggets. You'll hear stories behind albums by Bruce Willis, Shaquille O'Neal, Macho Man Randy Savage, Freddy Krueger, and many, many more. And he even does an episode on Hams Brewing Company. They put an album out in 1965. It's really great. New episodes drop every Tuesday, everywhere you listen to podcasts. Tony's got a Patreon that's great. So do yourself a favor, drop everything you're doing right now and go listen to Tony's podcast, Bizarre Albums. It's fantastic. T-Man.
Yo, yo.
And we're back, drinks in hand.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ooh, it smells smoky.
Did you guys, did you try your mezcals?
Oh, I forgot to try my mezcal. I tried my chartreuse and I was very pissed off.
Yeah, me too.
It's licorice-y.
Should we taste this cocktail?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Bottoms up.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, that is okay. A smoky delight.
It is smoky. I like I said earlier in this podcast, and I wasn't lying, that I had not had mezcal before in my life that I remembered. And yeah, it's smoky is what you call it. That's for damn sure.
And I ain't talking about the forest fire bear.
Thank you. It's smoky, man. This is another like, hey, I'll give it to him. It's complex.
Yeah, but we already had the granddaddy of complex with the Ooh. Trinidad Sour.
Nothing after a big glass of bitters is going to seem...
this feels like a smoky like margarita or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it does have a refreshing, like juicy, fruity taste to it. That must be the lime, huh?
It's like a smoky Cosmo, huh?
Smoky Cosmo.
Interesting.
That's what they should call it, the smoky Cosmo. It's funny that I mean, I would assume that the brand of mezcal and the type of mezcal you use is going to influence this a lot. But in our case,
oh, for sure,
having put equal parts in this, it is very funny. Chartreuse is expensive as fuck. Aperol ain't too cheap. So it is kind of funny that I'm mainly tasting nice, sweet, chilled mezcal. And it is right. Delicious, but mm-hmm. I still don't... they're all supporting players, and the mezcal is the star.
Right.
Well, you need that.
Kind of like on this podcast, how you guys, you have your part. You know what you got to do every week, but come on.
Well, the mezcal we went with also was the El Silencio, which is apparently a common mezcal for mixing.
Well, we told the guy, what's the bottom shelf? Yeah, he literally,
yeah.
He reached right down to the very bottom shelf.
Pulled it out of some mud. Yeah, I went for a cheap one. Actually, the place I got this at, mine's called Benhez, Banhez.
Benhez.
Benhez. I don't know. But the place I went to, I was asking where the stuff was. Chartreuse was right next to this. And, you know, they were like huge bottles for like $50. I was like, I don't know about this. He's like, oh, well, we do have the smaller ones. I was like, yes, now we're talking. Yes. Let's go take a look at those. And he gives me the chartreuse and this, which altogether was like $60. And he's like, yeah, they're still pretty expensive. I'm sorry.
Man, okay. We saw every available size for Campari.
Ah, yes.
And
oh yeah.
Only one we had to buy a big bottle of Aperol and split it in the parking lot into like little bottles with a funnel.
I know the Aperol I got, there was like a big bottle and then like maybe a millimeter smaller bottle.
Oh boy.
It's funny that this I you know, early my first couple of sips, I was only tasting mezcal. Now I do think this is delicious and quite refreshing. But it's interesting that it doesn't have juice, because you know the Cosmo had a splash of cranberry. Mm-hmm. This one, right. Just with the Aperol and the lime kind of mixing together, it does feel very pink lemonade-y.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a smoky pink lemonade. That's a good way of putting it.
Why, thank you.
If I do say so myself. It definitely has like different tastes coming to the forefront and saying, hello, and then going back.
Yeah, they pop up and say, oh, don't forget about me.
We didn't forget about you. Hold on. I want to introduce you to a pal of mine. We already met him.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, okay, I taste sour and this is just sour. And they say, well... meet my friend Bitterness. Bitterness, do yo thing.
Oh, you got to meet Smokey. We know yeah, Smokey.
We met Smokey right at the beginning.
Yeah, but trust me, we met Smokey.
We met Smokey, you son of a bitch.
What if we pitched a movie like, what's that Pixar movie? Inside Out.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's all the ingredients of a Naked and Famous cocktail.
Yeah.
And each one is like, has a character that, you know, like the Aperol is a little, has a bitter personality, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And the mezcal is like a smoky on a big cigar. Yeah.
Cause he smokes. Good, good. Well, we could call this Inside Stout. I know this isn't a stout beer, but
we could call it that.
Close.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking close.
You're not going to get any closer than that.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
I do keep reaching for it.
This really does like feel like a new age, new era drink.
Yeah.
Like, I think mezcal is like a newish thing, right? People are like, mezcal.
It just came out this week. mezcal is the one where I ate the like rotten chicken mezcal. Drank. I did a tasting in Mexico and they had all these different mezcals and I was like, what's the weirdest one? And he was like, well, this one has old chicken in it. And I said, that's the one for me, buddy.
How old?
I grabbed him and I kissed him right on his head.
Well, I don't mean mezcal as like a new thing, but it's like became popular recently, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure it existed forever, but I probably didn't have it until a few years ago. And it's funny because it's like that smokiness it's in every other drink, right? You know, it's like people that like scotch are like, well, I like a kind of a woody, smoky scotch. And then people that like bourbon will be, ooh, I like a one that's a little bit more woody or whatever. So they just found a way to smoke up all the spirits.
Mm-hmm. Make it woody.
I feel like mezcal used to be like inferior to tequila. And then it's become, it's kind of found its audience in the last 5-10 years. Where hipster people would be like, ooh, I actually kind of like the grosser version.
Well, I think that Mezcal's attitude is sort of like Michael Jordan, where it's like, oh, you think I'm inferior? Okay. No, that's okay if you think that about me. Yeah. And
I took that personally.
Then becomes the GOAT of all time.
We don't, Mikey. We love you. Now, do you think this is a Toy Story drink? It's woody and gives you a buzz?
Yes, I'm looking at cocktails.com and it says, mm-hmm. Yep, Toy Story drink, Woody.
This goes under the category?
I forgot about that, Mike.
How could you forget about that?
That was good.
This is a Toy Story drink. We should have that. Well, we should ask the IBA if they could start a Toy Story drink category.
Anything that's Woody.
There's only two in there so far, but we have high hopes.
High hopes that the three of us idiots could come up with it. Do you think they'll come to us and say, yes, we've heard the podcast. We've been dying for you to contact us.
Probably. We're giving them a lot of press. I think what I love about the metaphor of the Toy Story cocktail is that, like, it is also the perfect way to describe the movie Toy Story, is that it's Woody, right? And it gives you a buzz, like,
right,
it that when you're watching the movie you're like, what's it gonna give, mm-hmm. what characters are they gonna give me? Buzz.
I didn't have a Buzz before, now I have him.
Hey, you guys know they're doing a Buzz Lightyear live action movie?
No.
I think I had heard, or I saw like a teaser, the teaseriest trailer for something like that.
And would you believe Tim Allen is not involved?
What? Who's going to be the new Buzz?
What have they got? Al Borland?
It's Chris Evans.
Oh,
Chris Evans. Yep. Chris Evans. He played. He was Captain America.
Yeah, and you very might be thinking, good. yeah, he's a New Hampshire boy like Jeff. He's probably going to do a good job.
Yeah, I did think that.
Chris Evans is one of my favorite meme formats. Is the picture of old Chris Evans being like, no, I don't think I will. I think of that. I don't post it a lot, but whenever like somebody suggests something that I don't want to do, I think of, no, I don't think I will.
Hey, speaking of memes, I haven't seen WandaVision, but the Catherine Hahn meme of her doing a big old stage wink is the funniest fucking thing.
Oh yeah, and,
I've seen it used so well.
I don't want to watch WandaVision, but I love Catherine Hahn, and I was like, damn, do I have to watch this show to see this wink happen?
And like, way to go, her for getting that big old nut.
She's very funny.
Get her in a fucking Marvel show. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she rules. She was on Comedy Bang Bang, and she was one of the funniest guests ever.
Yeah, she was with, I did Lennon on there, and she was the guest before me, so we like sat next to each other. It was very, very funny and very nice, and played along.
Was there like an issue, because did she also want to do a comedy bit with really long drumsticks, and then you guys were both in the green room like...
Well, those were hers, and she hadn't gotten to her bit yet, and I was like, I'm going to use these.
I have an idea. Oh, Mike, also, you and I went to Tomato Pie to grab pizza one time, and we saw Catherine Hahn there, and you said hi to her. And she was very cool, obviously didn't recognize you in your John mm-hmm. Lennon makeup, but then mm-hmm. was like, oh yes, John Lennon, that was very funny.
Well, I then saw her. So I had the John Lennon makeup when we had our first interaction. Second interaction was there where I did not have the John Lennon makeup on. And then third interaction was at a Emmy party.
Okay.
And I happened to make my way into an Emmy party.
Mr. Tinseltown.
Okay, now, you cleared your throat before you said Emmy party. Did you have a lot of phlegm in your esophagus or what?
Tons. It almost kept me from getting into that Emmy party. And I saw her there again, and I just got a haircut, and I was like, oh, Catherine, what's happening? This was like in a span of maybe 5 months. I was like, how's it going? And she was like, I was like, Mike Hanford, I did the John Lennon thing. I saw you, it's Tomato Pie. She's like, oh, right. You got a haircut. I am never going to remember you.
I don't know if it was that would have been that same year, but speaking of Emmy events. Mm-hmm. Mike, one time I remember that when we worked at the Emmys, they give you tuxedos, you know, because if you're writing for the Emmys, you're going to be in the room and everybody in the whole place has to be wearing a tuxedo, even the cameraman. So Friar Tux Tuxedo Rentals gave us free.
In Glendale?
Yes, in Glendale. You know, I got my wedding tux there too. I love Friar Tux. It's great.
Got a couple suits from there. They had a deal. Oh, it's great.
Oh, I've been.
Well, everyone should go. They're sponsoring us. Coupon code Sloppy Tuxes. no, but like somebody came down to the writer's room underneath the theater and like gave us our tuxes and we put them on and we were like, hey, look at us. Ooh, I feel like Don Draper. And then we walked out. And it was a couple of the birthday boys, like us and me, Mike and Dave Ferguson. And we walked out. We're like, hey, let's go out onto the red carpet and see all the action pre-show. And we're feeling cool in our tuxedos. And we step outside and just the worst person that you would possibly want to see. If you don't want to be made fun of, the first person we see is Chelsea Peretti, who I don't know, but I think you guys knew. And she looked at us and pointed and was like, the birthday boys in tuxedos. And just fully laughed at that, like, you guys are not supposed to be wearing that type of attire. You're fools.
You are not qualified to wear something like that.
And then I was like, hey, Chelsea, can I actually get your autograph?
Wait, did she write? Did she?
No, she was nominated for an award.
Like, yeah, yeah. I remember a million years ago, the Birthday Boys B team was writing for the MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, yeah. The rest of us had been in a crash.
A lot of you guys were out of town, so it was up to me and Mitch and Ferguson. And we were at the Gibson Amphitheater. Mm-hmm. And I only remember this because Chelsea was writing with us. And look, long story short, I clogged the toilet in the room that we were writing in backstage at the Gibson Amphitheater. And so they had to send a service guy to like show up and just show him that it was the toilet. Also, this is an old room where like it was a green room for bands.
Oh.
And I noticed that there were group showers in this bathroom.
Yeah, this bathroom has like a huge bathtub. And then the dressing room has like a red piano, right? It's like very opulent.
Oh, I don't remember a piano, but I do remember you just walk into the bathroom and be like, great, some sinks off to the side, a toilet. And then you keep walking and there's a shower with like five nozzles. And anyway, so I clogged the shit out of that thing. And I came back in and told the head writer, I was like, hey, I clogged the fucking toilet.
And like, of course, were they like, I don't care.
And of course, everyone roasted the shit out of me. And my only defense was, it was mostly paper.
I wiped and wiped and wiped.
And I think specifically Chelsea was like, that's not good. That means you just had to wipe a million times. That's not better.
I was done wiping, but I kept going. I swear, Chelsea.
That's not better.
Oh, boy.
I one last name droppy story. I met Michael Che, and he said he had to step out of 30 Rock real quick, but it was cold outside, so he put on his Weekend Update hoodie. And he stepped outside and Chelsea Peretti saw him and was like, Weekend Update hoodie, and laughed at him. So I'm starting to think that Chelsea Peretti is kind of the person who is always around when you need to be made fun of.
She's the queen of the roast.
Chelsea, come on the pod.
Defend yourself.
But don't roast us. Oh, don't roast us. Well, I'll tell you something. We were chit-chatting and gabbing and this drink is going, gone on my end.
Yeah, mine went down the hatch.
Yeah, I made a big boy because the math was easy. So I said, ounce and a half of each, please.
Yeah, I just upped mine.
I love that when you got the equal parts, you don't have to do any measurements or math to make it huge. You just say,
yeah. How many times do you want to get drunk with your boys and then the math gets in the way?
You're having chartreuse with your boys and then you got to take out your Texas instrument in order to fucking figure out the thing.
I got chartreuse in one hand and a TI-83 in the other.
What I want to do, because, you know, I like to get a little loopy sometimes when I drink, I wanted to do four parts, but I want to do one ocean's worth mezcal, one ocean's worth lime juice.
Oh my God.
Oceans for the rest of them. Eat the whole, drink the whole thing's ocean.
Dude, that's going to be a pretty large one, man.
Mm.
Oh, look at him go. Whew, he just took it down.
Just downed it.
Mm-mm. It's good. It gets better as you drink, and I'm refreshed. I feel like I could take on the world.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I have my Campari and my Aperol here ready to rock.
Hell yeah.
Because they're always next to each other, and they're both bright red, and I feel like they're the same, and I want to go back and forth.
Let me grab mine. I'm gonna get on this.
You got Campari?
But Mike, do you have Campari too?
I sure fucking think I do. Let me find out.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna get just Aperol, but I'll join in the fun as well.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
All right, here we go. We're going to do a taste test of Aperol and Campari. And I remembered I don't have Campari. I got that Luxardo bitter. Remember that?
Oh, right.
Oh, the ashy stuff.
That's what the ashy stuff is.
Well, hey, it's definitely red.
Oh, that's ashy. Ooh.
I've got just Aperol and no Campari, but I'm going to drink it straight just so I can join in the fun.
All right, should we do the Aperol first?
Here's the Aperol.
Aperol sips.
Mm. Ooh, that's like a...
Oh, cough syrup. But in a good way.
It's like
in a good
thick,
way.
There's some ashiness in there too.
Mike, how do
there are other adjectives that you could use to describe liquids.
I've been using the wrong word. I'm such an idiot. I've been switching up the word ashy and red. It's red. That's what I'm doing.
Yes, I totally get it.
I mean, honestly, I like Aperol. That was a good taste to me.
Yeah.
But it's got a little bitterness, but it's also got a little bit of a sweet cough syrupness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the bitterness kind of doesn't kick in till the end. So for a little while, you do just feel like you're having some sweet syrup. But you guys like Aperol spritzes, right? I mean, this is that.
Never had.
Hey, Tim, never had one.
I think it's champagne in this.
What did we use the Campari for? Like, what did I use this Luxardo for? What was that?
Negroni.
The ashy Negroni. All right. I'm going to try this Luxardo.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do Campari here.
Ugh.
He loves it.
Yeah, okay.
Oosh.
So the verdict is in. I've gone back and forth.
We have a verdict.
Aperol is sweet Campari.
Got it.
End of story. Yeah.
So would you say that to all the slobheads listening that might have Campari but no Aperol and they want to make this drink, should they just mix simple syrup with Campari?
Ooh,
to make Aperol?
Oh, fuck. You'd have to get the measurements just right.
They have to be
perfect. You might be onto something. I think that sounds about right.
It's funny talking about these drinks with the people who made them still alive. Because if this gets back to him, he's like, you don't mix the fucking Aperol and Campari. What's the matter with you?
If you mix those, it'll explode.
I gotta get to Sloppy Boy's headquarters and warn him.
I like Aperol. I'm drinking this now, and I'm like, this is something I could just
drink that.
Yeah, and drinks are called aperitifs, but I'm never actually just like having an aperitif. But I could imagine sitting down with Aperol being like, you know, I'm going to eat dinner a little later, so maybe I start off with some Aperol.
Who are you talking to when you're doing that?
My dad.
Aperol on the rocks or with soda sounds really good.
It's only 11% alcohol by volume.
I also think that's kind of a posh new thing that's going on. People in 2021, people are getting into these gentler drinks. I do think taking just a little aperitif and putting over rocks with a little soda is kind of a hip thing to do right now. I would do that with just Aperol and have a nice gentle drink.
I'll have some Aperol and then a nap for all.
Now,
drink too much?
I've got myself here a glass of chartreuse.
Hold on. Let me grab mine.
Yeah, go get some.
I'll get a time.
Okay, I got my yellow chartreuse right here.
Me too.
Okay, we've all got our chartreuses and they're all yellow, Mike, right? You got yellow chartreuse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine looks like piss.
So keeping in mind, there's green chartreuse that is stronger than this. This is the yellower and the mellower of the two. They call it mellow yellow. I'm kidding. But this was made by silent monks who live in a monastery and go their whole life without talking. And they focus on mixing up the herbs for this drink. Let's taste it and see how they did.
Great.
Whew. That's an interesting taste.
My first thought is absinthe.
Yeah. Licorice. Yeah.
My first thought is that, well, hey, this is delicious. I would save those monks a few steps by having them put some fucking black licorice into some water.
Yep.
And talk all you want while you're doing it.
Put black licorice in some vodka, leave it for a year and send it my way. It'll be fine.
Tim, I got my absinthe right here. I'm going to do a little quick taste.
Okay, taste that back and forth. Guys, there's too much black licorice stuff on Earth. Why is every fucking thing the same taste?
Ooh, okay. I gotta say, the absinthe is more specifically black licorice forward. Same family, but not as close as Aperol and Campari.
I will say, the reason I like this, and I don't even have a problem with black licorice. I'll eat it. Hey, who the hell am I to complain?
I don't like it.
I mean, I like a nice red vine better, let's be honest. And that's what Aperol's like.
I like a nice gum.
I like a nice juicy fruit.
I like a bubblicious. No, this chartreuse is, I would say, of all the black licorices we've had, this is the best. It's sweet and it's mellow, this yellow chartreuse.
Yeah, well. Yes,
but
it is.
But still, how many times have we bought something that ended up having this taste? Come on.
Yeah, it's the big trick. The big liquor trick of 2021.
I'm going to go out to the Alps and swing by the Carthusian monastery and say, have you ever heard of Jaeger?
And they'll be like, what?
Here's a Jaeger. Dude, imagine me and all the monks lined up and I'm pouring Jaeger bombs for all of them. And then they turn into party monks because a cool American guy came and hung out with them.
Yeah.
All right, guys, do we get into our final thoughts here? Because I feel like I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Me too.
Damn ready.
I'm just going to say it. Letter grade, I'm going to give this a C.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, because I feel like every mezcal cocktail I've had tastes like this. There's always a little bit of sweet or a little bit of acid.
Whoa.
To counterbalance the smoke. And to me, this is not so special.
Jeez, Jeff.
Damn, Jay.
Okay.
Did I guzzle it down? Yeah, sure. Would I have another one? Yes. But it gets that C.
So, well, why?
That haunting C.
Let me ask you about the haunting C. Now, you're saying it tastes good and you drank it and everything, yeah. But it gets a C. But so what is it going up against? Is it that you thought this would be, because it's not like it's a very popular cocktail that everyone's always singing its praises. Is it the price of the fancy ingredients that made you?
You know, I do think that having to buy weird shit that is similar to shit I already have is a mark against.
Mm.
But of course, you know, okay. I'm also just thinking objectively in terms of, like, you know, we've had amazing Cosmopolitans and Trinidad Sours and Tequila Sunrises. The Naked and Famous is like fine.
You don't think it's up there.
It's a C-level.
Well, it's funny, for a podcast that does not give out letter grades,
yeah.
You decided to do that because you wanted to give them, it's not good, it's not bad. So you're right in the middle there. So it's like, oh, that's what's haunting about it. I like that.
I wanted to spank them with average.
Well, I feel like I don't give letter grades. I do what we do on this podcast, which is say if we would have a second round or not.
Tim, do what you do.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Tim, you're peaking.
I would have a second round.
Yeah.
I think it's delicious. I think it's a really good drink. And I would also say this. This drink is described as the it's a take on two drinks that we've never had. The Last Word and the Paper Plane, which were both part of that New York revival scene. I've never had either of those. We'll get to them eventually. So I don't really know what to stack it up against. But, you know, Joaquin Simo, if you're listening, I, for one, respect your work.
I think the Last Word was an old Prohibition era drink.
Oh.
Maybe I read that wrong. Oh, I've got an interesting fact about Prohibition stuff in a second. But this drink for me is an order again. But you know, it's funny because with all these drinks that we're doing and stuff and all these order, I keep claiming I'm going to order again. I need to like remember that this is a drink. Like this is when I go to a bar, I'm like, what do I want? I know what a martini is. I'll have that. I got to remember that this is out there.
Yeah.
See, but here's my point is you're going to remember and then you're going to be like, no, I think I'll have a martini.
Oh, but I think this is a fun drink to order for people. Like it's, if you're with other people, it's like, hey, let's try this drink. I've done this drink. It's good. Mezcal. You ever, this was a good introduction to mezcal for me because I've never had.
Me too. And not to get into appointments or distinctions, but we both, all of us happen to live in cities where we do have this at our fingertips where, look, martini is my favorite drink and Mai Tais and the classic ones are my faves. But in LA, you do have Varnish. And Mike, you're over there in Brooklyn. You got the Clover Club. You could. These drinks are being made and we do have access to it. And if I were in the right place, I would order this drink.
You know what I would do differently with mine is I would chill everything. Like put everything. I only had room in my freezer for just the mezcal. But I would put it all in the freezer and get it all down.
But Mike, you shook it on ice, didn't you?
Of course I did. But, you know, I want to start from zero, sub-zero.
I would chill everything. I would chill everything, including myself. You know, before I make the drink, I'd take a second and be like, Tim,
yeah,
cool down.
Cool out.
I'm a little pissed off right now.
Well, here's what I was going to say. I mentioned Prohibition era. So Death & Co., the very bar, the very speakeasy, high-end speakeasy that this thing was made in, was, I read this on the Difford's Guide online, and I really like this this sentence. To the uninitiated, the name could suggest a funeral parlor run by the Grim Reaper himself.
Very nice.
But the name Death & Co. Is a reference to a group of Prohibition-era artists who made a bunch of posters and put them all around that looked like propaganda for temperance, but they were actually coded maps to speakeasies.
There you go.
Oh, that's cool.
So you go, if you're in the know in the old days, you say, oh yes, yes, I love this. Hour later, I'm trashed.
Yeah, Death & Co., I think they're probably doing the speakeasy thing right, but isn't it funny how you... speakeasies, they got brought back And then they became popular, and then they became obnoxious. And I guess
they have, but I, look, if somebody comes from out of town to LA and it's not COVID times, I'm taking them to some of these like obnoxious places for sure.
I am too, but like what, like Davy Wayne's?
Yeah. Or like No Vacancy, or there's like an adult video store one I haven't been to, I want to go to.
Oh my God.
I went to one. Do you know the one down in Koreatown at the Line Hotel?
Yes. Break Room 86.
Yes. Break Room 80, yeah.
Well, you know how you get in there? There's a vending machine, and then the doorman says, anybody want any snacks? And then you're like, and then he opens up the vending machine, and then you walk through a little passage, and then you go back, and it's a cool bar, and then they dance on the bar, and the whole bar opens up, his whole thing. Well, I was there with Jessica, and we went outside, out the back to get some fresh air, and you know when bars will have like sort of a small like smoking area, and they got to be kind of conscious about the rules out there. Me and Jessica were outside, and then we kind of stepped a little too far out onto the sidewalk, and there was a doorman back there who's like, you guys are out. You stepped out. You're too far out, so you're no longer at the bar. So you're out of the bar, and you can't go back in. And we were like, okay, can we... We want to go back in though. He's like, let me lead you around front. Okay. And he was like very rude. And if our other friends weren't inside, we probably would have just gotten an Uber.
Yeah. It sounds like you got yourself a douchebag there, Tim.
We got ourselves a douchebag. But then here's the funny part. The douchebag's walking, and I'm a kind hearted man, but he's being a dick. So anyway, he walks, he goes, you got to go around front. So I was like, well, where do we go? We're like lost. So he walks us back around to the entrance again. And he knows I'm mad at him, right? I've like yelled at him, and he's a jerk. So, he knows that he sucks, but he gets to the vending machine, and he turns to me and Jessica and goes, anybody want a snack? And he like did the joke again, and we're like,
that's great.
It doesn't work the second time.
That's great.
And then you know what I did then? People's elbow, drop kick, boom, suplex.
Holy smokes.
And then my final move, the pile driver, snapped his neck off.
Is he okay? Have you kept in contact with him? Is he okay at all?
He passed away, but he's in heaven.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. Do you guys, so we've ranked the drink, we drank the drink, we ranked it, sure, we drank it and sure. Rank it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
We do on this show. We drink them and rank them. Let's now, I want to know if you guys want to play the Naked and Famous Quiz.
Oh man, my big flat ass is showing.
It's time for the Naked and Famous Quiz.
Wow.
There it is.
Okay, so
that's the drop.
Jack Nicholson is famous, and his big fat ass is showing means that he's naked.
Well, I don't know if you heard him. He has a big flat ass. He said, flat ass."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You heard that.
So it's a big ass. It's it's wide and flat, but it doesn't protrude back at all.
Right. Well, you know what though? That was a lot of people do think that's Jack Nicholson. That's actually Christian Slater.
Ooh,
that's actually an impression of Christian Slater that you did.
Isn't that great? Okay, well, we all know how to play the Naked and Famous Quiz. I'll just tell you real quick. I'm going to name an actor. You guys tell me what movie they were in where they were nude and what body part we see.
Oh, this is good, Michael. Like
this is sort of like a Mr. Skin quiz.
Yeah. Right, right.
Well, this will be good for me because Mr. Skin is my homepage on my computer when I log in. So,
okay. So I will do, let's do like some of these people may have been in other movies. What we would probably know them for.
It's their iconically nude role.
Yeah, yeah. In movie or TV.
And Michael, do we buzz in or do we just blurt?
Just shout. Shout it out.
And we're shouting with the body part or the movie?
The movie and the body part.
Great.
Okay, so like, but what if the movie was the bodyguard? I could be like, the bodyguard, the body part.
Well, I don't want to hear you say body part. I want to name you the name of the body part.
It's going to be like, Kevin Costner, butt.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, right, but obviously,
no, it'd be Dances with Wolves, but
exactly.
Or no, it'd be okay.
Okay. So let's start with what do I want to start? Okay, here we go. Jason Segel,
Sarah Marshall, but
forgetting Sarah Marshall, but
I gotta ding you on the butt there, guys.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, dick.
That's right, Jeffy.
No, he shows his dick.
Flaccid dick.
Yes.
In a comedy film?
Yes,
that's
Tim.
Right. He was like the first to do it. Okay, moving on.
And that was based on his real life breakup with Linda Cardellini. Michael, keep going.
Youch.
I didn't know that. Did they meet on the set of Freaks and Geeks?
Yes, they did. And when she checked into hotels, she checked in under the name of Sarah Marshall. Michael, keep going.
Whoa.
Oh, this is all very exciting. All right, here we go. Donald Sutherland.
Animal House ass.
That's right, Timmy. And what is he doing that that we can see that?
He's reaching up on the shelves for a pot. But to bring it back to the Apatow gang, didn't Paul Rudd parody this at some point? He had a sweater on and he showed his butt and they recreated the exact same shot?
Yeah, in Wet Hot American Summer, like a deleted scene or something.
Mm. Funny.
I got to write the score down here. We got, it's 1-1. This
one
is,
and one, one and one.
So this is very exciting. This is actually all very exciting.
I would call it neck and neck.
Right. Hold on a second.
Right, yes.
Okay, here's I just got them all here. I don't have them in any order, so I want to do an order that works best for us. Here we go. Sharon Stone.
Basic Casino Instinct Pussy. Vagina.
You
said Casino, right?
I said Casino Pussy.
I said Basic Instinct Vagina.
Does she show her vagina in Casino?
No.
Okay.
Wait, where's the leg cross thing from?
Basic Instinct. Timmy gets the point.
I was going to say, but here's the thing. I'm going to give you the point, but it's Sharon Stone, Basic Instinct, everything.
Yeah, that's true.
She shows it all there. There's no stopping.
She bears it all.
Okay, here we go. Mark Wahlberg.
Boogie Nights dick.
Boogie Nights.
That's right.
I knew
now
it.
Here's Boogie the Nights. Big question. Was that a real penis?
No, it was not.
Boogie Nights Johansson. Here we go.
Long Dong Johnson.
Okay. Jason Biggs.
American Pie
American
butt?
Pie ass.
That's right. I think I had Jeff on that one. Jeff, did you say American? I got Jeff on that. Jeff came through to me first on that one, and I'm marking it down. It's 3-2. Tim was winning 3-2.
He's also shirtless in Saving Silverman, if you want to give me a side point.
All right, let me just write down a side point. Tim has one side point.
Okay, and I'll just tell you right now, I don't really feel like using my side point, so that's pretty
okay. Irrelevant. I'm going to cross out.
Tim, you're going to regret that.
You cannot use side point. All right, here's a little, this is a tricky one. Here we go. Ryan Philippe.
Dangerous liaisons ass.
Cruel intentions nut.
cruel intentions is right.
Cruel intentions ass.
That's right.
Yeah, baby. And Studio 54.
Are you sure you can't
torso.
See? Are you sure you can't see just a little bit of nut?
I think that's the opening shot. A close up on his one nut, but then. We don't know. We don't know for sure that it's.
I have the script right here. It says fade in as we pull out from nut.
Yeah. Also, I also have the script and I'm looking at the scene that has his ass and it says right here through his crack. You can see just the back of one of his nuts.
Just enough nuttage. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, who? My God. I should know this from my high school years.
American Pie tits.
No.
Nope.
Elizabeth
that's
Hurley
not,
is.
That's not Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh, wait, no. You said Berkeley.
Yes, Elizabeth Berkley.
Showgirl's vagina.
Tim, you got it.
Showgirl's vagina?
She's full frontal. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Oh, shit. I got to rent that movie. I haven't seen it.
Jeff.
You gotta get out to Blockbuster.
And I love Verhoeven. I love Verhoeven.
Oh, God. All right, we're closing in on we're three more left, and it is 5-2. Jeff, you've got to get all three of these to do well.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
No problem.
Michael Fassbender.
Oh,
Dick, shame. Shame, Dick.
Oh.
Jeffy Deffy B does it. Woo.
I never saw that
Jeffy
film.
Jeffy Deffy D really does it. All right, two more left. Dennis Franz.
But NYPD NYCD Blue. Blue.
I heard both at the same time. That is very difficult.
We both get side points.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you both a side point.
Okay, and do we know the exchange rate yet?
It's if you want to use it or not.
But you get a half point or a full point for it.
You get a full point if you want, okay. If you choose to use.
Okay, I'm gonna.
So Jeff, you might want to choose to use because it's 5-3 right now.
Well, it's too soon for me to make the call.
To okay. choose but to use.
Tim also has a side point.
And anyone else listening, tweet us and tell us if you would choose to use.
All right, here's the very last one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you two ready?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Mike Hanford.
Birthday boys ass.
But birthday boys, fuck.
Tim, you got it. Tim is a 6-3, but now comes the very important part. Yeah, that was my butt was in there. We had a stamp. I think I still have that stamp somewhere around here. I kept that.
Do
as
you
a
remember
little
we
gift.
Had a whole rigmarole with like the president of AMC Networks about the amount of pube in that scene?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bob really went to bat for us because that was the pilot, and he was like, "Look, even if you want to censor these guys going forward, coming out the gate, you got to let people know that this isn't a comedy show that's going to hold back." And they were like, "Okay,
yeah, that's great."
Then we just ripped. We just went nuts the rest of the series.
Oh my yeah, god, right. It was just
some of the things we said.
Pubes.
Well, that's the game. We do have the who wants to use their side points.
I have one, right?
You have one, yeah.
I don't want to use mine. I don't want to use mine.
Tim's getting away. He's giving away two, so he's giving away two. Jeff, you want to use yours or no?
I would like.
You
to.
Can you can save it till next quiz.
No. Upon further review, I think now is the time.
Okay, so it's Tim wins 6-4. You didn't have a chance. <of it. laughs> I'm sorry to say,
but at least Jeff, like that was. 6-4 is pretty close, and had I used my side points, it would have been 8-4, and that's a blowout. Yeah. But this is good.
Tim, I will say congratulations once again.
Thank you so much. You're a great competitor.
That's great sportsmanship. I didn't even think of that.
Yes.
That's just the way it goes on the Naked and Famous quiz, Jeff. Play the clip, Jeff.
Oh, man, my big flat ass is showing.
It's time for the Naked and Famous quiz.
You know, the person who makes our drops, we pay him so much damn money, he should have made a drop that was like, that's it for the Naked and Famous quiz.
Yeah, it's weird to use the same one again, but that does seem like Heather's era Christian Slater now that you mention it. Yeah.
Yes, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it. That's him. I got the audio.
I know that clip is Christian Slater, but to bring up something unrelated, Jack Nicholson. Have you guys seen, there's a lot of famous paparazzi shots of Jack Nicholson at Laker games eating hot dogs. It is so funny. But have you seen the paparazzi shots of Nicholson eating a hoagie on a boat?
No. Mm-mm. We should post it.
Yeah. Everybody Google it. It's you're just going to have a blast with it.
He's a hoagie on a boat. Well, Jesus, that's going to wrap it up for everything, I think.
And that's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
What is up?
Tim, I'm never going to figure you out.